Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin. So, will Singapore's central bank keep policy settings unchanged at its semi-annual meeting amid an economic recovery? Microsoft is accelerating its cloud strategy for healthcare. But Microsoft already has a number of speech recognition and chatbots of its own. So, why go deep on a healthcare vertical with nuanced communications? Next, we'll look at Chinese regulators. Was all the rage yesterday, the headlines that the regulators have slapped a record $2.8 billion fine on Chinese tech giant Alibaba. Now, is this closure for Alibaba? And what does the restructuring of Alibaba as a holding company mean for its future and its future IPO prospects, perhaps? To help us answer those questions, Tong Ho Seng is head of wealth management for the Aura Group, joining us live. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, morning. I'm fine, thank you. Yourself?
I'm doing very well. Good of you to join us. So what are your expectations for MAS? Inflationary pressures benign. I believe inflation expected to come in between 0 and 1%. That was MAS preferred core inflation measure landing somewhere in that range, 0 and 1%. So we know that the Monetary Authority of Singapore uses currency as its main policy tool rather than interest rates. Do you expect it will refrain from changing any of the three currency band settings?
I think MAS will continue to be relatively accommodative. Yes, the Singapore government uses the Sing dollar, or at least the currency, as a tool rather than interest rates. And I think over the last couple of weeks or months, I think MAS, and going forward for a little bit more, I think MAS is going to probably leave its nominal effective exchange rate on a weighted index policy band basically unchanged.
All right. So go ahead.
Not much changes, sorry.
So no change likely, even though we're expecting sort of a slow recovery, or at least a patchy recovery.
Yeah, I think it's more likely because of patchy recovery that the policies will probably stay accommodative. And even when we talk about interest rates or at least inflation rates coming up and all, well, we're probably talking about a base case, right? I mean, as you know, last year with the pandemic and everything, prices and everything else basically fell. So we're actually operating from or starting from a very low base. And so even if we were to say that, you know, the MAS is expecting interest inflation rates to be about 0.5 or 1%, I think that is coming off a very, very low base. So that's why I don't think central banks, not only here in Singapore, but elsewhere as well, to probably stay very accommodative going forward.
Okay. All right, Tong Ho. So basically neutral monetary policy. Let's switch gears now and look at Microsoft, which has said it will buy Nuance Communications. That's a speech recognition and artificial intelligence business. What will the deal bring Microsoft? Microsoft already has a number of speech recognition and chatbot products. So why this healthcare vertical, and why a cloud strategy for healthcare, do you think?
Oh, I think this deal really brings quite a fair amount to Microsoft. First and foremost, I think this basically further illustrates Microsoft's efforts to expand inorganically. And you're right in saying that Microsoft has some other chatbots and AI and all. But if you sit down and really analyze this, Nuance is actually a pioneer in speech recognition. And it's very well known for helping develop Apple Siri. So and this acquisition actually isn't very new to Microsoft, because Nuance and Microsoft have actually started collaboration since 2019. on technologies that basically allow doctors to capture voice conversations from patient visits, as well as data entry into electronic medical records. Yeah, so this acquisition is basically just building on this partnership. Now, what you ask as well, why this particular acquisition? Well, I guess this deal basically expands Microsoft's capabilities in voice software, as well as AI expertise, especially for healthcare companies wanting to go into telehealth or telemedicine. And due to the pandemic, this sector has actually seen a dramatic expansion or boom, right, caused by the lockdowns when people couldn't really go out or at least there was fear of them going out. And that's and because of that, I mean, Nuance's customer base in the U.S. is roughly about 80% with hospitals. And with pandemic, with the pandemic still ongoing, I think this growth in this particular sector is still probably continuing to grow. So I think this deal basically is quite complementary to Microsoft's strategy.
So Microsoft shares were flat on the news, but Nuance shares jumped 16%. Yep. Mm-hmm. So great for Nuance as well, yeah?
Yeah. So I think this deal probably brings more to Nuance to a large extent than to Microsoft. After all, as I said, they already had that collaboration. So this is basically just to cement that this particular partnership.
This will mark the second largest purchase by Microsoft ever, only ever surpassed by the billions, $26 billion, I believe it paid for LinkedIn back in 2016. So really a big bet Microsoft is making on conversational AI and cloud strategy in the healthcare sector, which you see as a real milestone for it moving forward.
Yep, that's right. I mean, as you know, over the pandemic as well, when people were working from home. I mean, that besides Zoom, there was also Microsoft Teams. And this basically would also definitely improve Microsoft Teams in terms of communication. When people, you know, when you speak into the mic, everything is clear. It also perhaps can even help in terms of note-taking.
Oh, yes.
So people can actually focus on the content and you know, rather than having to multitask and listen and write notes at the same time. So I think this definitely is a boon for Microsoft.
Very interesting development. Next, let's switch to Jack Ma's Ant Group, which in news today says it will drastically revamp its business. So Ant Group has bowed to demands for Chinese authorities that clearly want to rein in the country's fast-growing internet giants. Ant says it'll agree to be supervised more like a bank, a move with far-reaching implications, some analysts say, for Ant's growth and for its ability perhaps to press ahead with the initial public offering that was scuttled last year. So what do you think of the $2.8 billion fine, much less severe than some investors feared, 4% of the company's 2019 domestic sales, far less than the maximum of 10% of a fine allowed under Chinese law? But first, let's take a step back. Can you remind us why Alibaba was fined, and whether or not you think that this action will now allow Alibaba to move on?
Well, I guess this is something where, you know, Alibaba has grown, right? I mean, it's basically the largest online and mobile commerce company in the world, right? Especially when you measure it in terms of gross merchandise volume. And because they've grown so big, unencumbered over the last since its very beginning, basically it could actually it's almost like being the school ground bully, right? And they could basically dictate terms as to whether merchants who want to list on their platform to either take their terms or go somewhere else. And if you're a business and you want to reach out as much as possible, sometimes you just have to suck it up and take it. And I guess that's something that the Chinese regulators have looked at and said, no, this isn't the way going forward. And that's one of the reasons why they basically went after Alibaba since late 2020 and basically opened up an anti-monopoly probe into their business. So basically, the fine was all about a practice that forces merchants to list their products either on their platform or somebody else's. Mm-hmm. So they basically have to choose. So it's anti-competitive, and that's something that the Chinese government want to, do away with. So that's one of the reasons why they came in and basically fined Alibaba for its anti-monopolistic practices.
All right, let's look at the outcome of the fine. I mean, under the terms of the antitrust settlement, Ant is going to have to restructure as a financial holding company. There are other restrictions as well that are expected to curb its profitability and its valuation. What do you think, though? Alibaba American depository receipts climbed 9.3% yesterday in New York. That was its biggest jump in almost 4 years. So investors seem to be sighing with relief. What do you expect investor reaction to be moving forward?
I think it does remove a huge overhang over the company. And if you look, past history and past events, what happened to some of the bigger major banks in the U.S., right? I mean, even some of them, when they even caused the great financial crisis in early 2010. Now, what happens after that? There is a investigation, there's a probe. After everything is said and done, they go and tell the banks, you're fined $4 billion here, you're fined $5 billion here, mm-hmm. you're fined $2 billion here. But what happens? Life goes on, right? The business would have to tweak their model slightly, but ultimately at the end of the day, people will still come back to them. Investors will relook at their business models, may relook at their earnings potential. There might be some slowdown in terms of their earnings and everything else, but when you're one of the biggest guy on the block, it's tough to avoid. So I think investors will continue to look at Alibaba and go, "Yep, it's perhaps now is the time for re-rating."
So as an investor, interested in Chinese tech, what does this mean? I mean, does this again, point a picture to point the finger at a very opaque policy, private political maneuvering, a company having to negotiate resolution for its regulatory problems? I mean, some see this as a warning shot that's been fired in China's tech crackdown, but far from the last that we're going to hear when it comes to a crackdown on tech in China.
Actually, China isn't the only country that's really looking at these big internet companies, right, and trying to see what they could do to basically rein in their powers. Even in the U.S., the authorities down there are really looking at some of the businesses or acquisitions of companies like Facebook and all. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're getting too big. And because of size, they carry a lot more clout. And that's why authorities are re-looking at some of these things and trying to rein them in. Mm-hmm. So this isn't something that's actually very new. Yes, it's new in China because people like Tencent, Alibaba, Meituan, they've all basically grown unencumbered over all these years. Mm. So I guess with that clout, governments have decided that, we need to rein you in a little bit so that all of you will become good corporate citizens, right? I mean, it's very much like being in school when the principal finally catches you doing something wrong. What did they do? He punishes you. You either have to go in and write 1,000 lines or
whatever. Is that what you had to do, Tom? Write a thousand lines.
I've done quite a few thousands, actually.
Do you think, though, that this increases investors' perception of systemic risks in China, or do you think those risks have always been unseen and quite unquantifiable?
Yep, I think it is quite unseen, and now it's beginning to come percolate up to the surface, and I think that's good going forward. That there's going to be some. I guess at the end of the day, it's all about fairness, mm-hmm. and that's what the governments are trying to do, right? I mean, after all, Beijing has already said that they want to, make digitalization of the economy as one of the focal points, and this would definitely help if you have more players coming in to this space, and consumers have a lot more choices. But ultimately, one can't avoid companies like Alibaba or Tencent. I mean, if you look at Alibaba alone, you're talking about close to, 800 million active customers?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So, and I think a lot of them will probably have stickiness as well.
Fantastic insights. Great speaking with you. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Tong Ho Sung is Head of Wealth Management for the Aura Group here with me on Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.